Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, I want to take a few moments this morning to review a couple of key things that we've been covering over the past six, seven weeks, since we've been covering the book of 1 John. We've been studying this letter, and we started off this study back at the beginning of October as we've been rolling through this book. We started off this study with this declaration that we find ourselves saying as human beings sometimes, there's got to be something more than what I'm living for right now. There's got to be more than just what we see on this earth. And John, as he's writing this letter to the church, is addressing this declaration that there's got to be something bigger. There's got to be something higher. There's got to be something more than just what we're living for in this life. And I think that this statement, there's got to be something more, it's a declaration that any human seeking a higher purpose can make. And then this letter from John to the believers in the church outlines a response, and we've been talking about how this response is kind of like a blueprint. This response is a blueprint for a new way to live life in Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded of this blueprint and this new way that we can live so that we can break free of the chains from this old world and enter into a new way to be human, a new way of living life in Jesus Christ. I figured it'd be really good as we're wrapping this up this week to very quickly cover a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about as we've studied this book over the past month and a half. In chapter one, we learned that our lives are made completely whole only when we choose to follow Jesus. When we choose to follow Jesus, Jesus shows us the way to truly live. The world would have you buy into wealth or fame or gadgets or houses or the newest car, but living, being fully human is really found when we decide to live for Jesus Christ. We also learned that part of the blueprint into this new way to be human is to walk in the light. Walk in the light. And we talked about, if you'll remember, we talked about walking in the light's not just about marking time in one place. You remember that? Walking in the light doesn't mean just marking time in the same place. It means following the light in our lives and moving where the Spirit is leading. And we, you know, I really challenge us to ask ourselves, how much have we grown spiritually in the past year? The personal reflection for each and every one of us is, how have I grown since last Thanksgiving? How has God worked in my life since the last Advent season? It's an important thing for us to ask ourselves, because if we're truly living in Jesus Christ, we're going to be growing in Christ. We're going to be making progress, and we're not going to just be marking time. We also, remember we had wear your favorite team sport jersey Sunday? Wilma's a big Dallas Cowboy fan. Nobody knew that, aren't you? We on Jersey Sunday, we lived into the truth that we are known by the colors that we wear. And as people who choose to identify with Christ, who follow Christ and call Jesus as Savior, we are children of God. We are children of God. And if we're truly going to call ourselves followers of Christ and identify as children of God, we are going to be known by our actions, right? The new way to be human is marked by doing right, doing righteousness, by making right choices. And we were challenged that Sunday by the fact that we need to explore which bad habits we need to get rid of in our lives. There are some things that we need to unlearn in our lives so that we can become more Christ-like. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You can have decades on being a Christian. We all have things in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to work on in our hearts to help us to unlearn bad habits that we've formed, bad attitudes that we've taken on, so that we can let go of those bad habits and bad attitudes so we can become more like Jesus Christ in our lives. What do we need to unlearn? And then we talked 1 week about how we don't want to be like Cain, Remember that? Remember that study that week? You don't want to be like Cain. We learned from that Old Testament story, we learned that this new way to be human means embracing your role as your brother or sister's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. And Pastor Vicki and I were talking about how this manifests itself, even in the simplest ways, even in our households. You know, yesterday we put up Christmas decorations in the house. And in the past, and how many just hate to do that? You know, it's a dread, it's a joy for some, but it's a task. And sometimes in the past, that's like all falls on one person's shoulders. And yesterday, we all kind of pitched in, right? We all realized that we were our brothers and sisters' keepers, and we all pitched in, and we all helped to decorate the house, and it was fun, and it was great, and it was easier than trying to do it all yourself. And so when we say we're our brother or our sister's keepers, it's very practical down into your everyday living, at work, at home. You want to blow somebody's mind at home, fellas? After dinner tonight, do the dishes. Go do Patty's dishes. That's what being your brother or sister's keeper actually looks like. That's what it actually looks like in real life application. Putting somebody else in front of your own needs. That's what it means to not be like Cain. We are our brother and sister's keeper. We also learned that part of this new way of being human is found by conquering our cravings. And we can't do that by ourselves. We can't conquer earthly cravings by ourselves. We learned that John teaches us that God can help us, though, when it comes to conquering these earthly cravings that we have. We learned that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that the Holy Spirit, when we really give the Holy Spirit permission, can come in and begin to transform our minds and transform our souls and transform our cravings. And these old things that we crave of our sinful past, they're not things that we desire anymore. We start desiring and craving the things of God. And it makes me want to ask this morning, how much do we crave the Word? How much do we crave the Word? How much do we crave being in the presence of God's people? How much do we crave prayer? How much do we crave prayer? What I've found is sometimes I'll come into church on a Sunday morning, and even as your pastor, I'm just like, boy, I really got to fake it to make it, you know, to get into a worship mode. And sometimes it's just in the doing. And that's what I think singing sometimes does for us, because you transformed as a group this morning. I watched it from the stage with my pink microphone that clashed with my orange on my shirt. But I watched your transformation as we sang together this morning. You kind of came in and you were here. You were present. But by the time we got done singing, How Great Thou Art, you were worshiping. You were transformed. You had conquered the earthly desire to get sleep and to shake those cobwebs out of your head this morning and actually just participating in doing. I saw your countenance transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even Chuck Ryder's. No, but serious, we worshiped, right? It changes us. And sometimes even when you don't feel like it, you know, that's that earthly craving that's just, oh, you don't want to do this. You don't want to participate. Julie and I run into that with the teens all the time. Oh, I don't want to do it. And then once you get them to do it, they're transformed. So part of this new way of being human is getting engaged and allowing the Holy Spirit, doing things to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to change us as we submit our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit. And then 2 weeks ago, when we were right the week before we went on vacation, we learned that this new way to be human is found as we overcome fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear, right? Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear, we learned that fear is about minimizing risk. We don't want to risk getting hurt. We don't want to risk feeling pain that we've suffered or experienced in the past or that we've seen others experience. And we don't want to have any part of that. So we live our lives. We make choices to minimize the risk of pain in our lives. And we talked about how the enemy tries to trick us into thinking that we're not actually saved, that our sins are not forgiven. We learned that fear, when it's dissolved by perfect love, leads to courage. And that courage empowers and enables us to move forward and risk loving others, even though they might reject us. Perfect love drives out all fear. We've covered a lot of ground over the last month and a half. There's a lot of great stuff in this book. And you're probably like, slow down, Pastor. I got a Sunday school side stitch. Slow down. Well, while you're catching your breath, I think John has one more lesson for us this morning as we wrap this up, because next week we're going to start into the Advent season. One more lesson for us, a parting shot, if you will, by John to the church. A parting shot. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 is what we're going to focus on this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Flip it up there on the screen. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and by carrying out his commands. He's trying to make a point here. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. So we've gotten a lot of direction over the past several weeks, and we've found out a lot of things that we need to do to follow this blueprint, to find this new way to be human. And John, in his parting shot to the church, says his commands, all this stuff you need to do, it's not a burden. It's not burdensome. I want to focus on that last phrase this morning. His commands are not burdensome. The Greek word for burdensome, on that next slide, this is a hard one, bariai. It's a Greek word. You're going to learn Greek this morning. Say it with me, bariai. Bariai. It's like bariai. Bariai. It's the Greek word for burdensome here. In the context of this verse this morning, it basically translates, it's not difficult to do what he's commanded. This isn't brain surgery. It's not hard to do what God is commanding us to do. It's not difficult to do all the stuff that John is laying out for us in this letter and this blueprint for a new way to be human. Nobody here likes to wrestle with difficult things, right? We're all like, let's keep it simple, right? Let's make it easy. And the second it gets difficult, we start marching away with our feet, right? And that's just kind of the way we are. I haven't been a huge fan of crossword puzzles. I have not in my life been a huge fan of crossword puzzles. You know, it kind of goes like this. I could spend hours trying to figure out what one word is. And I'm so slow with it. I just don't pull these things together. And I'll, you know, Pastor Vicky will be there across the living room and I'll say, what's a five-letter word? And I've been struggling with this for like an hour and a half, you know, just straining my brain, sweat pouring from my brow. And I'm like, Pastor Vicky, help me. Five-letter word for Son of God. And like instantly, she's like, Jesus. And I'm like, ah! Man, how do you do that? I'm not very good at crossword puzzles. They hang me up. Because in my mind, they're difficult. How many of you like crosswords? A couple. How many of you hate crossword puzzles? Oh, a more enthusiastic response there. Dave Vince's hand shot through the ceiling. Don't bruise that. But I found the Wall Street Journal puzzle on my iPad a couple of weeks ago. And I'm really becoming quite attuned to crossword puzzles now. Because when you do the crossword puzzle on the Wall Street Journal on the iPad, if you know, it's got, you know, what's the five-letter word for the Son of God, and you can't figure it out, and it allows you to click a letter. It gives you a J. Well, that was easy. And then you're like, I can't do J. Five-letter word, Son of God, J. Click another letter, E. And then by then, I'm just kind of like, oh, well, forget it. I'm just going to do the whole word as a Jesus. And I'm like, yes! I got it! I finished three puzzles during our weekend away last weekend. I'm getting really good at this. getting really, really good. The helps make it fun because they take the difficulty out of the crossword puzzle. No one likes to wrestle with difficult things. And John is teaching us that the path to this new way to be human, it isn't difficult. It's not. It shouldn't be burdensome. It shouldn't be difficult. So it makes me ask the question, what makes it so difficult for us at times as human to live into God's plan for our life, to obey the commands of God? Why do we tend to get hung up on the five-letter word for the Son of God in our lives? Why do we get hung up? What makes it so difficult? And as I reflected on this passage this week, as I was studying this and just asking the Lord to illuminate me, I think it all has to do with our motives. I think it all comes down to our motives, what's motivating us in our heart. And it all reminded me of that passage in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And I think we have it up there on the screen. This verse just automatically came to mind as I was studying this passage. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes to the church, "Let's not become weary in doing good. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Let's not become weary in doing good. I think we need to hear this as a church this morning. I worry about us as a church. We're small. This is a great family. We're small but mighty at Maplewood. Amen?
Amen.
And I look at our church and I look at all the activities that we're involved in. And boy, I tell you what, I have a heart and an appreciation for our stewards. Because over the past couple of months, they have been very busy providing funeral dinners and doing a lot for families in our church. Real ministry. But I'm so thankful and appreciative of them. I think about the people on Sunday nights that are engaged in the Maplewood Next Gen activities. And I think about all the time and the energy that we're pouring into our children and we're investing in our children. I think about all of the folks in the church who are involved in preparing for the Christmas program in the next couple of weeks. And boy, Pastor Vicky really has a pretty strong rehearsal schedule, but it'll all pay off in the end. I know that we have a lot of people in our church committed to doing a lot of good. And I think the message that I want you to hear this morning is, let's not become weary in doing good. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up. Are we tired? Are we tired? That's okay. Are we tired? Are we physically exhausted? I think that's fine. Are we weary because doing good has become burdensome? That's not okay. If we're tired, physically tired because we're just busy doing good, that's great. But if it's becoming a burden to do good, that's an issue. And I think that's what John is trying to address in the church today. I think that's what he and Paul are both trying to teach us in these passages, that, you know, doing good should not be burdensome. Doing good should not make us weary or discouraged from doing good. We got to keep at it. It'll pay off. It all comes down to our motives. It all comes down to our motives. Our motives are those things that really drive how we behave. Our motives are those things that really drive how we behave. When the motive for our action is to obey God and to obey His commands out of love, that's not a burdensome thing. We're inspired by God's love for us. It's the least I can do, God, in return for your love for me, to obey your commands and love other people. When love, don't miss this morning. This is so crucial for us as people trying to be disciples of Christ, When love is our motive, it's not hard. It is not difficult or complex to obey Christ's commands. It's easy when love is our motive. But when we find ourselves, burdened and weary in doing good, I think that's a time to call a timeout. Anybody watch the Ohio State-Michigan game yesterday? Of course. Of course you all did. In any athletic sport, you know, there are times in games where the momentum is turning against your team, and a good coach in those moments when the momentum's turning against the team, what will we do? He'll run down to the ref and he'll say, timeout. Timeout. We need to regroup here. We need to regroup. We need to regain perspective, and we need to reset ourselves so that we can move forward and be effective and win the game and accomplish our goals. Accomplish why we came here in the first place. And when we find ourselves burdened and weary in doing good, church, that's when we kind of need to time out. Call a timeout. Let's regroup and let's look at this for a couple of moments. And let's start exploring what's causing the stress. What's causing the fatigue? What's causing the stress and the fatigue? And I think part of what we have to do as we're going through this exploration process, we have to ask ourselves, what's the real motive driving my behavior? Because we all do a lot of good stuff in the church, right? And we all come in and we all do it, and we do it in the name of Jesus. It's all great stuff, and I'm so appreciative of all of the participation that we get across our church family to make the things of the church run. But when it becomes burdensome and weary, we have to ask, what is the real motive? What's really driving my behavior at this point in time? Are we doing things in the name of Jesus out of a love for Christ? Or, let's be honest, are we doing things in the name of Jesus, but deep down we're just really doing it so somebody will say, good job, we want our ego stroked? Are we doing it in the name of Jesus, or are we just doing it because we want somebody to give us credit for doing it? If we're doing it just to get credit or to get our ego stroked, at some point in time, we're going to get burdened. It's going to make us weary because we're doing it for the wrong reasons. Are we doing things in the name of Jesus because of Jesus' love in our hearts? Or are we doing things in the name of Jesus to make ourselves feel better because we've messed up somewhere in some part of our life? And this is my penance. I've come in, I'm going to do good to make up for the bad that I've done in the past. That can become really burdensome. That can really make us tired because there's nothing you can do physically on this earth to make up for the sin that you've committed. There's no way that you can pay the debt. And we have people doing and doing and straining and going and trying to make up for past mistakes, when in reality you need to let go and let Jesus have it. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover it. What is the real motive for why we do the things we do? Are we doing things in the name of Jesus out of the love of Jesus in my life? Or are we doing things in the name of Jesus to fill a void in my life? There's something missing. There's just a hole there, and I'm just doing it because it makes me feel good when I do it. And I love it when we serve and it gives us a sense of purpose. I think that's important. But if you're doing it just because it gives you a sense of purpose in the kingdom of God, in God's economy, that's not the right reason that we should be serving in the church. It's great that it gives you a sense of purpose. That's a byproduct of loving God and obeying Him. But if that's the main reason why we're doing it, we're probably doing it for the wrong reason.
Amen.
We're probably doing it for the wrong reason. And here's another way of looking at it. Are we not doing what we're supposed to be doing in the name of Jesus because we just think it's too hard? It's too difficult. It's impossible for me to do that. Because sometimes we do things in the name of Jesus and we're doing it for some ulterior motive that's not the love of God. Sometimes we're not doing things that we should be doing because we don't trust God enough to empower us and give us the ability to accomplish that to which He's called us. He will not call you to something that you can't accomplish. He will enable you to accomplish His will as He calls you into His plan in life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What's our motive? What's the real motive driving our behavior? If it's not the, if our motive in serving in the church is not a pure response to love of Jesus Christ in our lives, we're going to become burdened. We're going to become weary. And it's not going to be producing the fruit that God wants it to produce in our lives. When God's love for us is the source of our obedience, we will no longer be burdened. We may be tired because we're human, but it's not going to be a burden. It's not going to be difficult. It's not going to be too complex. It's going to be easy to do it because the love of Jesus Christ drives us. It'll be easy to make the choice to follow the light, to obey His commands, to do His will, because we are inspired by the love of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us in our own hearts and our own personal walk. When something else is the source of obedience other than the love of Christ, we will burn out. We'll get tired. And we'll give up. We'll be likely to give up. Oh, and by the way, guess what we'll do? We'll also make excuses. We'll make excuses. When we find ourselves making excuses, that's a symptom that we're being burdened because we're doing it for the wrong reason. And then we'll be thrown off course, folks. And we'll find ourselves back at square one at some point in time, asking ourselves all over again, there's got to be more than this in my life. There's got to be something more than what I'm living for right now. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think that's what, yeah, I don't know if as you've been reading 1 John, it seems like John keeps repeating the same themes over and over. He says the same way, the same thing in a different way, like over and over again. And I think that's because John is trying to tell us that we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is to love God and to love other people. And sometimes that can become a learning opportunity for us, right? We're growing into being able to love God, and it's easy to love God. It's hard sometimes to love other people. And you're like, Pastor, it's really hard to love you some of the time. I know. God, He's still working on me, right? He's still working on me. He's still working on you. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. His commands are not burdensome. We make them difficult. We complicate things with our motives. Are we doing things in the name of Jesus out of something other than a Christ-inspired love for other people? Are we weary because doing good has become burdensome? Oh, I have to put the decorations up again. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand those teens. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. We make excuses. Or is it becoming a burden to serve? I echo Paul's words again. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be inspired by the love of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be difficult or burdensome to embrace this new way to be human. It's all about our attitudes. It's all about our motives. And it's all about how we are responding to the love of God in our lives at any given moment in time. Whether you've been in church for decades or whether it's the first time you've ever stepped into a church today, how are we responding to the love of God in our lives today? Is it a burden or is it a joy? Is it the thing that gets us up out of bed every morning and inspires us to live a life worthy of the life He's called us to, loving others? Let's stand this morning. Let's pray together. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. As we wrap up our study of 1 John this morning, let's pray together this morning. Father, we love You. We pray, Father, that You would help us today. We do not want to be burdened in obeying Your commands. We don't want our obedience to be like some chore list that we have to complete. I pray, Father, this morning that You would examine the motives of our hearts today. I pray, Father, that You would show us this morning, right here, right now, in the quiet of this place, that You would show us any attitudes or motives that need to be surrendered to You and transformed by the power of Your Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we pray that You would fill us with Your love today. We pray that you'd fill us fresh and anew. I pray that you would take us back this morning, Father, to that place where we were initially changed by realizing your love and your grace for us. I pray, Father, that you would fill us with that love again. I pray, Father, that you would fill us with that sense of purpose again that we had when we initially accepted Jesus in our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd fill us with that zeal and that energy and that motivation to serve you out of a sense of gratitude and love. Father, I pray that you would change us today. I pray that you would just continue to shape us into your image. I pray, Father, that you would breathe new life into us. Breathe new purpose into us. Breathe new calling into each and every one of us today. And do it, Lord, so that we can find a sense of meaning and purpose and belonging in your love. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be your people. We do not want to be burdened down. You did not intend for us to be burdened down out of a sense of obligation. Lord, we want to live our lives for you out of a sense of gratitude and love and inspiration. Father, may it be in our hearts that we live our lives inspired by your love for us. And may your love for us, with all of our flaws and our mistakes and shortcomings, all of our stumbles, may that enduring love for us, Lord, inspire us to love the people around us, first in our church and in our community. Lord, we want to be your people. We want to be filled fresh and anew by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning, Father, if there is anybody here today that is just sensing your Spirit tug on their heart, that they would not resist and that we would respond in our hearts this morning, right here, right now. Jesus, remove this burden from me. I've been doing things for the wrong reason, even in the church as I serve. Restore in me that first love that I had when I first came to know you. And give me a passion and a zeal fueled by that love to serve you, to serve others, to build your kingdom. Not for my own credit, not to stroke my own ego, but because you love me first. Lord, help us to embrace that love today in a new and a fresh way. Help us to submit our hearts to you. And Lord, help us to resolve ourselves to following this blueprint that's laid out in the letter of 1 John. Help us to embrace this new way to be human in a world that's dying and needs hope and needs love and needs compassion. Lord, let it begin here in our hearts and in our minds as you pour your Holy Spirit out afresh and anew upon us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.